Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rediscovering the Joy of Learning with the Access Possibilities School Teachers. I'm Christine DiDomenico, teacher and principal of the Access Possibilities School. I'm joined by Simone Padour, one of our very amazing and gifted teachers. And today our topic is creating change for kids with autism. So we have a very different point of view about autism, don't we, Simone?
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
So you want to talk a little bit about what that difference is, the difference that we make?
Sure. I think there's a few different things. For one thing, we don't look at it as a disability. Rather than it's a gift. It's something that it's a capacity that the person has. If you recognize that and are willing to work with that and see it for what it is, rather than go, oh, they've got a problem and they have to fit into our society, they have to be like everybody else. If you don't have the point of view that they have to be everybody else, and you look at, okay, well, who are they and what would work here? Notice there's a question, what would work here? Then it's a very different thing that can show up, and they can show up more and more as themselves rather than trying to fit into the box that, you know, their teachers or their school or parents or whomever have decided they should be in. They should be quote unquote normal. So if you want to add to that, Christine, at all?
Yeah, I just, as you were talking about it, I got this sense of lightness. And so that's one of the tools that we use a lot is acknowledging where things give us a sense of heaviness and where something gives us a sense of lightness. And
yeah,
if you're listening, if you just tap into that energy of what it's like when we identify kids as having autism and all the definitions that go along with that, and is there any lightness in that, or is there a lot of heaviness in that? And then
yeah,
when you talked about it being a gift and asking questions about what this is, there was this, like, it all just opened up this huge space of possibility and so much more lightness.
Yeah.
So for people listening, you don't have to believe anything we say. You can just listen and hear what we're saying and then use that as a tool for your own awareness of, oh, is this true for me? Does this feel light to me? And that's
yeah,
the way life should be, and that's what can expand possibilities.
Well, and I also find, like, acknowledging what's going on for the kid, like, okay, I get that this might be really intense for you right now, or, you know, what can we do about that? What tool can we use here? What question can we ask? And very, like we talked about with Trina last week, that who are you being is a great question, because they're so aware. And that's one of the gifts of autism is the awareness. They're so aware of everything, of, you know, the texture of the carpet and the sound of the cars outside and, you know, the ticking of the clock and the facial expressions that you have and what's going on in your head and how hot is that tea, and it goes on and on and on. And so they have all of this awareness, and they have the awareness of the emotions of, and the thoughts and stuff of people around them. So they're picking up on all of this stuff going on. And I read an article lately about, you know, that saying that they used to say that autistic kids were very removed from people, and they didn't have any sense of how other people saw things, and they couldn't see things from other people's perspective. And what I found actually is quite the reverse. I have a young man in one of my classes, and he, because we're an online school, there's this tool where you can annotate on the screen. And when he's bored and usually not listening, he'll annotate on my screen. And I'll say, look, like, can you stop that? And he's like, yeah, but I'm bored. And so it sort of goes in this circle of, well, were you listening to me? This is what we have to do. And then oh, no, I wasn't. And he'll go off and do what he has to do. And it came up the other day, well, why don't you like it? He said, like, why are you annoyed by it? And I said, it's really hard for me to teach a lesson because I find it really distracting. I've got slight ADHD, or maybe more than slight, or ADD, I should say, and I get distracted really easily. And I said, that's really difficult for me when you do that. And he just went, oh, okay. And he's never done it again. So he really could see where I was coming from. So that idea that, you know, that they are shut off, that they don't sense that about people, I've found that they're really aware of where people are functioning from, and they're often confused because people won't say what they actually mean. Like, I could have said, no, you're just being naughty, stop that. Instead of being vulnerable with him and saying, actually, I'm finding it really difficult when you do that.
That was cool. When you told me about that, I thought, wow, just something so simple, yet so powerful. You have a lot of examples of that with all our kids in the school, how just using these tools can change something quickly.
Yeah, very quickly, like lightning fast quickly. I've worked at other schools and, you know, and they've got some, you know, great tools and, you know, structures and stuff they do to work with kids. And I've seen change, but it usually takes months or sometimes years. This can take a few minutes.
So can you give us some examples? Can you give us some other examples of how, what has things that have occurred and how you've changed them?
So, for example, working with somebody in English, they were really they've been having a tricky time. Well, they were having a tricky time in this particular class where they were having to write this sentence, or it was a biography, and they of themselves, and they couldn't get what I was asking about. Instead of going, you know, well, you just need to do it this way, or you have to, you know. I said, okay, so number one, where are you? Because they were getting really upset and really, you know, freaking out about it. And I said, okay, where are you? Asking that question of where are you, I felt some release and some relaxation. And then I said, okay, well, what if you could be there and be here? And then there was this sort of, oh, okay. And then I said, and what if you weren't wrong? Like, and what if we, because he said to me at one point, why can't you just accept my spelling and my punctuation as it is. I'd love to, really I would. And if we were in the time of Shakespeare, absolutely we could do this. And that's not the way we do it now. And if you went on to college or wherever, or even writing out in the world, people wouldn't get what you were trying to say. And so we just broke it down and I just kept questions, and he was, you know, at one point he got really frustrated, and I said, okay, you frustrated or angry? And he was like, both. I was like, okay, it's all right. But there was, in my world the whole time, I didn't get upset. I just was this space of just allowing where he was, and also giving him the space. Like, there were moments where I was like, okay, I'm just gonna leave him and move on with the other students and let him sort of deal with what he's going through, because there was stuff, he was stuff going on that he was working through, whatever it was. And so I would work with the other kids, and they were working fine and doing their stuff, and he'd come back, and he's like, okay, I've got it. And I would look at it, and I was like, yeah, that's really, you're getting there, you're getting close. And then he would sort of start going again, and I'm like, you know, just relax, it's okay, you know. And because I was willing to keep asking questions, I was then able to find out what part of it was confusing him. Whereas if I had just gone to the conclusion of, like, you know, maybe he just doesn't get it, or, you know, whatever, or maybe I'm wrong as a teacher. But because I was willing to ask questions, eventually we got to the fact that he needed another example. He needed it broken down even further, right? And I think sometimes, particularly when we get into, you know, middle school and up, we as teachers, myself included, have forgotten sometimes that maybe those kids didn't get that step, or maybe they weren't ready for that step, and maybe they need to actually go, you know, a few grades below in order to catch up. So that's my, some of my examples there.
Yeah, that's great. And it reminds me of a story my friend Dean Larson once told me about a boy who was taking a test, and it was a reading comprehension test, and the boy answered the questions incorrectly. And when Dean started to ask him questions about how he answered and where that information came from, he realized that the boy had so much awareness of so much more beyond the story that he was bringing into his answers. So we didn't just, you talked about that, you know, kids with autism having so much more awareness, and this is a great example of that, because he wasn't in just this little space of what was written on a page, but he was way beyond that. And when he asked questions about it, he got the awareness that that's where the kid was coming from, instead of making him wrong and marking him wrong. And then he said to the kid, okay, look at that, like what you said about acknowledging before. He said, I acknowledge, wow, look at that. You have so much more awareness, and you see things beyond what's written on the paper. And what the teacher's looking for right now is what is written right here in this story. And then he would say, I'm able to answer the question.
and that's a great question, too. What is my teacher looking for? Which is a question kids can look at. And you could even ask your own students, like, okay, so what am I looking for here? What are you aware of that is in my head that I'm looking for, right? Because it gives them a sense of where you're coming from. The other thing, and this is Access does this too, and I remember this from when I was working with horses, and I remember my brother, who's a horse trainer, said, you have to know when to quit. And that was like slapping me in the forehead today, is like, you have to know when to quit. So yes, did he write the whole biography? No, he wrote about half of it. And then when we got to the list parts where he needed to categorize, you know, that this is his favorite kind of food, this is his favorite kind of TV or whatever, to separate those out into different sentences, I gave an example, and then he did one, and then I was like, okay, it's time to quit. It's time to give him the space he needs to organize that in his brain, or just give him the space to, because it was I could perceive like the amount of change that created in his world, to have to work through that instead of, you know, somebody going, whoa, this kid's way too upset, we're just not going to do this. Instead, I was like, okay, I get that you're upset, and I get that this isn't easy for you, and yeah, it sucks that we have to do it, and what if we could get through this? What if I could be here to contribute to you? And so he finished, and the relaxation that and the sense of like, I did it, you know, like, huh. And then he went off and we played some other games and stuff. And there was just this sense of space and peace. And it makes me wonder, I'm like, I wonder what it's going to be like next time. I wonder what will be different. And what else is possible that I could not even possibly imagine?
And that seems to show up quite a bit, things beyond what we can imagine. And that the importance of just being in the question all the time is so valuable in creating the change when things don't show up the way you think they're going to show up, or the way you expect them to show up or want them to show up.
So, yep.
I just want to say, too, if anyone's listening and they'd like to call in with a question, the number to call in is 646-716-8601. I'll repeat that again. It's 646-716-8601. 646-716-8601.
So we love callers.
Other things, that would be great. Love to answer questions. One of the other things I remember talking about too is, and noticing changes in kids, is that you give kids. And this coming from a place of, they don't have a problem. It's just they function differently. We all function differently in varying degrees and in different situations. And when you've had circumstances where there's been, like, the example of him writing, annotating on the screen when you were trying to teach, it's like you didn't back off and say, oh, no, he doesn't have any control, or this is the way, he might react to this, he might blow up. You don't come from that place at all. It's just that this doesn't work here.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's interesting because whenever I've worked with kids who, quote unquote, have labels of autism, of Down syndrome, who have ADD, ADHD, I've never had the opinion that they get to be brats. Not on my watch. Because they're people, right? So if you're being, rude and disrespectful, not rude and disrespectful, but just being a jerk, it doesn't mean that I have to put up with it. So, because I wouldn't put up with it from anybody, large or small. So that's always been my point of view. And I learned this years back. I had this kid, and she didn't have Downs, but she had a developmental delay. And she used to do things like, she'd say, I forgot, or she'd have a tantrum and she'd start banging her head against the table. And I explained this to a friend of mine, and she's like, well, you wouldn't put up with any of that from anybody else. How come you're doing it with this kid? But there were so many people, that teachers and kids alike, that because she would freak out, and it's the same with somebody that blows up in anger, you kind of go, if I don't rock the boat, then it will be okay. But the thing is, it actually gets worse and it escalates. So with this particular kid, I said, look, like, you can have your tantrum, but you're going to have to do it somewhere else. And when you're calm, you can come back, or you can tell me what's going on for you. Those are your choices. And she's like, it's okay. I can calm down. And really what was going on is she was frustrated, but that's how she had learned to deal with it. That's how she got what she required. Was from freaking out. The same kid with this memory thing, she said, I have short-term memory loss. The fact that she even knew what that meant, I was like, what's going on here? So I was like, really? Is that really true? And she giggled and she said, no, I lied. And it was at that moment I knew that one of these things with these kids, one of their greatest capacities is manipulation and control. They're superheroes at it. And so once I had that in my awareness, I could call them on it. And most of the time they'd laugh, or they would get calm, or something would change. So there you are.
And the thing that I noticed when you, talk about these situations and how you respond to them is that, yes, there is that demand that this doesn't work here and this has to change, and you can do this, but you have to go in another place. There's no sense of making them wrong in that. And I think that's one of the biggest pieces and the tool that can create the change, is that there's not this sense of wrongness that you're projecting on them.
Yeah, and that's huge. And I'm so grateful for the access tools, because I watch us as teachers work with these kids and things just change. Like, one of my favorite stories still from the beginning of the year is, and pardon us if you've heard this before, is we had this young man who is very angry, very like, I don't want to be here, I hate you, I, you know, like there was this rah in his world. And something came up for me in the classroom, and I looked at him and I said, look, in this school, you are never wrong. And he made eye contact for like the first time and said, okay. And then Christine and I didn't talk about it. And then in her class, she said almost the same thing to him. Yeah. And the kid is so different. I don't even know how to tell you guys. Like,
amazingly different.
Yeah. He's this happy leader of the classroom. Like, he takes charge, and he's, but he, there's this quiet, like, it's just amazing. Yeah.
It is. It's really amazing. So you talked about how when one of your students who has autism is on the spectrum changed from the mm-hmm. tools that you were using to work with them, that you noticed that other kids changed. And this is something that teachers in the classroom deal with all the time. They have kids of many different abilities, with different diagnoses, with, you know, just different levels of learning and performance. And so can you talk about how you noticed that the other kids were changing as you use tools to create change? Yeah.
Well, I noticed that they started stepping up. They started, like, even today we had something going on in the classroom where, you know, this person was upset and was working through this stuff. And the other kids, you know, I'd explained to them at the beginning what they were going to be doing, and they just got on with it. And, you know, some of them had questions and stuff, and they just waited and then asked their questions, and then what was interesting is, I don't know how it works. I couldn't tell you, but all I know is it changes. I noticed one kid was like, oh, I could do this. And usually she kind of likes me to not spoon feed her, but sort of give her a bit, you know. And this time she was like, actually, I know how to do that. I'll go do that. And I was like, whoa, cool. You know, yeah, so it's weird, it's wacky, and it works like a magic wand.
And just, you know, we've been talking a lot about, as teachers, how we can create change for kids. And in our description, we also mentioned parents and how parents want what's best for their children, and they often get frustrated when their child's needs are not being met. And so what can parents do to make sure their kids are learning at an appropriate level and getting all the services they require? And so these tools also apply to parents as well.
Well, I'm thinking of like one particular parent that we have. She was aware that her son needed something more, and he wasn't getting where he was. And it might just be that, you know, the school has loads and loads of kids and they don't have the time to spend with him, which is often the case in big schools. And so for a parent to follow your awareness, no matter what anybody says, but to follow your awareness, because you know your kid, right? And when you follow, and she was exactly correct with all of the things that she told us about him. And I've used quite a few of the things that she suggested, and they've worked like a charm. So yeah, parents, like, don't make yourself wrong. Like, you know what you know. And, you know, and what if by asking questions and not judging yourself, you could actually find a way that would work for your kid and for you and for the school, et cetera.
Yeah, because I find oftentimes that we do judge our awareness as a parent because of what the school mm-hmm. is saying, what the teachers are saying, what counselors are saying. And yet we really do know how our kid functions, and not that they don't know, But as a parent, we have a very different awareness. So, and the other piece of it is, I think often parents get in this struggle with the school because we as parents are aware of something with our kid that they're not being provided, and then we get into a battle or a fight to receive what it is that they're not getting, which actually doesn't allow change. So by using the tool of asking questions for your kid, like a question like, well, what would it take for this to change? And what can what do I need to be or do with the teachers or the principal or the counselors to receive, for my kid to receive what they actually require? So instead of the going in with the dukes up ready to fight, being in the question of what else is possible, because that's really what makes the change and what shifts things is you being that space that Simone talked about where there's not a wrongness there. You know, you get out of the school is wrong, teacher's wrong, create that space, ask questions, and that's how the change shows up. And you'll see magically that somebody might change their point of view. They may then be more open to your suggestions just by you being more of that space.
Well, and you said something to me this past weekend where when you're approaching a situation where, which might be a bit tricky, you know, say, hey, I've noticed this. What have you noticed? So that you're asking a question, you're asking for their assistance rather than, as you say, going in with your dukes up and this is what's going on and this is what I need, right?
Because you're valuing the other person. You're showing them that you actually want to hear what they have to say, instead of, you know, going in with your own point of view. Because even as parents, you know, we often have tunnel vision about our kids too. And we're not always willing to see all the pieces of what's going on. So it actually opens up our own awareness of, oh yeah, what do I notice? And because we may be oblivious to something just because we have a point of view that cuts that awareness off. So by somebody else asking you a question, it's like, oh yeah, well, what do I know about this?
Well, and Simone Millicis, who has Joy of Business, she's also Access Worldwide Coordinator, marvelous lady, she talked about the everybody's, it's the wholeness of everybody's awareness that creates even more. So it's, as you say, a teacher might be aware of something over here, parent is aware of something over there, kid is something aware of something over here, and when you work as a group, you know, rather than fighting each other, amazing magical things can happen. And I noticed that we're steadily running out of time here, and I'd really like to have a brief chat about our open house that is coming up soon.
Yeah, thank you for that.
So that's
that is
May 7th.
Yes. It's on May 7th at 12:30 Pacific time, and you can register for the open house ahead of time by going to our website, accesspossibilitieschool.com, and you'll see on the very top banner there's a little button to click to register, and this will be an open house online using our Zoom video program, and so you can come and find out about our programs and our full-time and part-time programs, our extracurricular programs, our tutoring programs, our summer programs, and it's also a time that you can ask questions that you might have about our school.
And even if you're just curious, I mean, even if you've got like a grandkid or, you know, a kid that you're attached to in some way, or you're just like, wow, this sounds so cool, I'd love to know more, I would like to go as an adult, which you can because we do have adult programming. We'd love to see you and hear you because we can see you and hear you with this with this software. So it's truly amazing. So please, please, please do sign up or tell people about it. If it's something that you would like to share, that would be amazing. You can also see it on our Facebook page, which is the Access Possibilities Facebook page, Access Possibilities School Facebook page, sorry. And we have lots of postings and upcoming things. And what do we have for next week's radio? Do you know, Christine?
Next week, we are actually going to be talking with a parent, Emily Russell. So we'll be talking about what parents are looking for from schools and teachers.
Awesome.
So, you know what? I'm incorrect on that. That's in 2 weeks. Next week, we'll be talking about what do you do when your lesson isn't working. So this is a radio show geared to teachers, and we'll be talking about that topic. Mom knows
I'm
a lot
so
about
excited.
That, too.
I'm so excited about that topic. I thought it was this week, and I was, like, pumped, although I was pretty excited about this topic, too, because it's one near and dear to my heart, because it's, with these tools, you can change it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Simone, for all your expertise and information about tools to create change for kids with autism. And thanks for everyone that's listening. And
cool.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.